Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Now, you can find that on page 839 in the Pew Bible there in front of you. Let us give attention to the reading of God's Word. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me, and then we'll consider the text that John has just read for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the privilege of opening your living word. And we pray that you would give us ears to hear, and that you would open our hearts to understanding, that we would be a receptive people. We acknowledge that you are our God, and that this word, your word, is constantly and consistently true for our lives. Speak it to us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you hear me? Oh, I mean, can you hear me? Did you know every sermon works on two levels? What you hear in just the proper sound. Is Jason doing a good job at getting me across this morning? Can you hear me? But what I'm really asking is, can you hear me? Can you hear with your heart the Word of God that John has read? This morning we take a glimpse into the teaching ministry of Jesus as we have been working our way through Mark, and as we will be for the rest of the year and the rest of the school year, we will be considering the life, the ministry, the teachings of Jesus. And this is our first real encounter with the teaching of Jesus. And it is about hearing. Can you hear me? More importantly, can you hear God's Spirit? Can you hear the Word of God through me? Are you listening? It might be a surprise to you that one of the key faculties in the Christian life is the ability to listen. John Bunyan, in his book, The Holy War, many of you would know Pilgrim's Progress. Along with Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan wrote a book called The Holy War. It also was an allegory of man's soul. There's a city in the book, The Holy War, that is to represent man's soul, and a la Bunyan-esque, it is named man's soul. And there are five gates into man's soul. There is the eye gate, the ear gate, the nose gate, the mouth gate, and the feel gates. And Diabolos, the usurper, takes charge of man's soul in Bunyan's novel. And Prince Emmanuel is to take back man's soul. An ear gate is guarded by 60 deaf mutes. Do you know what gate Prince Emmanuel chooses to make his charge on man's soul? He runs right through ear gates. And so it is with the gospel. Without hearing, without reception, without the adoption into our hearts of the truths of God, it all just falls away. And Jesus, in this parable that is historically been called the parable of the sower, which would, in my opinion, better be named the parable of the soils. That line's not God's line right above it in your Bible. That's addition there. It is not so much that there's any difference in the sower or the seed, but the difference comes in the soils. This parable of the soils is a parable of hearing. And so I ask again this morning, can you hear me? Will you hear with the depth of your being the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, in 20 plus years of ministry, I have learned from being a part of people's lives and from observing my own life that we as a people, us in modern culture, we do not listen well. If your family was to come to me and I were to ask them, are you a good listener? What kind of response would I get? And yet in verse 3, what is it that Jesus says there? First word, exclamation point out. What does Jesus say? Listen. Now, the gospel comes to you this morning and says, listen. Listen. You know, we're not by and large good at listening. Many of us are pretty good at talking. Few of us are good at listening. And those who are good at listening, you're never without people to talk to you, are you? But we need to listen. And this morning, Jesus speaks and He says to you, listen. You know, in doing counseling with couples, I often find that the way most people listen when they're stressed is to look just for enough information from their spouse or from their child or from their parent when they're just enough to make their next point. You ever listen that way? In heart, you're really defensive, and whatever person A says to you, you're going to find fuel for the fight there. So you listen to respond. And never in my midst when that kind of listening is going on do we reach much of a resolution. You know why that is? Because the other never feels heard, do they? You ever realize that in your battles in the home with children, with spouses, with grandparents, with, you know, your battles in the office, your battles with roommates, whatever it may be? Have you ever realized the tendency in your heart when you feel you are right to shut others down and find it difficult to listen? Anybody else besides me wrestle with that? Okay, there are a few who are willing to tell the truth this morning. Let me tell you, it's a human predicament. The pastor has seen it hundreds and hundreds of times. One of the most difficult acts for us is to listen well. And Jesus would come to us this morning and say that hearing is essential to the gospel. As a matter of fact, the kingdom belongs to those who listen and follow in fruitfulness. And so this morning, put on your thinking cap. But more importantly, open your ears to the Lord. Listen. In our text, basically the parable of these soils, Jesus is responding to how people of God are to listen. They are to listen believingly, carefully, and productively. Listen believingly. Notice there again in verse 3, what is it that Jesus says in His parable? Listen. A sower went out. Listen. Notice down in verses 9 there. And He said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then He quotes from Isaiah, "There are some who will see but not perceive. There are some who will hear and not understand. But to you," speaking to the disciples at this point in the text, "to you is given the secret of the kingdom." Listen. Hear the word of the Lord. We are to listen believingly. We are to bring our hearts to the Lord by hearing Him. Now, most everybody in the room knows that Noah has come to our house. And so Marion this fall has begun to teach Noah in school, doing a little homeschooling here, beginning to teach him. And one of the first things Marion taught Noah became very evident to me. I would come home and I would say, "Noah, did you do school today?" And he would say, "Yes." And I'd say, "Noah, what did you learn?" And he'd say, "I don't know." But after a week or two, I would come home and I would say, Noah, did you have school today?" And he would say, "Yes." He loves school. It's fun. And I said, "Noah," one day I came to him, I said, "Noah, what did you learn today?" And he said, "I listen with my ears, I listen with my eyes, I listen with my heart." Now, Marion had been teaching him not just what he was to learn, but how he was to learn. "Noah, how do you listen?" "Listen with my..." Oh, he's going shy. He's never shy at home. "Listen to my ears, with my ears, with my eyes, with my heart." I want you to know that's biblical. Jesus would love that. Because the goal of the gospel is to get heart deep. Beloved, when you listen to the Savior, when you peer into His Word, and that's the seed that's spoken of here, right? We hear it in the text. Not in the first go-around, but in Jesus' explanation, the seed is the Word. It is the message of the kingdom of God. When you receive that, you are to receive it with gladness, but you are to receive it deeply. Hear the Lord. When He speaks, hear the Lord. It's the goal of the gospel, as it were, for us to be a listening, receiving, and then productive, fruitful people. First, because we have heard. Now, there's a problem, I think, in just the way we as evangelicals often view this text. We often view it as there are, you know, there's one good soil, one who receives, that's us, and then there are the bad soils, those are the outsiders. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus is preaching, and Jesus is preaching this morning as He was many years ago on this shore. He is preaching to sermon-going, pew-sitting, church-type people. There are four responses in here among us to the Word of God. Will we hear Him? At the heart of this parable that Jesus tells is the desire to be heard and to hear and to remind us that we must listen well to the Savior. The secret of the kingdom is worked out in our lives as we hear the Lord and respond. When His grace grows into fruitfulness because it has been received deeply through the ear gate into our soul. See, the problem this morning that Jesus is confronting is gospel deafness. How well do you hear your Savior? How well do you hear His Word? When Jesus speaks, how well do you respond with hearts? You must hear Him. The greatest problem, the greatest predicament for us is this gospel deafness. To have hearts that are impervious to the truth of God, where His truth washes off our back like water off a duck's back, or or to be crushed with the pressures of life and to miss the truth of God, but we must hear Him because gospel deafness steals the grace of God from our souls. Jesus is confronting a problem. He has been speaking. He has been dealing with people's hearts. And there have been these responses. If you've read along with us in Mark's chapter 1, 2, and 3, what you've seen is that everybody has a response to Jesus. Some love Him. Some hate Him. But there's no sense in which people don't respond to the Savior. And Jesus is enlightening our hearts on the responses that come to the Savior. The variety of ways of hearing Him. So this morning we need to take a hearing test. Are you hearing the Lord? First, God's goal is that we would listen believingly. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus says, listen. But secondly this morning, Jesus wants us to listen carefully. And that's verses 1 through 8. Jesus goes out and He tells parables. Now, parables will tax your mind. You have to listen closely to get the truth of what Jesus is speaking here. But He goes out and He tells a parable about a sower and a seed and soils. Now, this would have been very contemporary in Jesus' day. He is speaking in an agrarian society. And they sowed seeds. And they lived off of what they could produce. Maybe what they could get out of the seed, but largely they lived on the grains that were in their own gardens. And in the ancient Near East, they basically threw out the seeds and then they plowed later. And so there would be some seed that produced well and some that would be lost. And Jesus takes a slice of life. And He reminds the people who are listening to this great crowd before Him. Jesus, you know, He's made His own amphitheaters. People on a beach, Jesus in a boat. Good acoustics, by the way. And Jesus speaking to a large crowd. And what does He say? Listen. There's a sower in this parable. That's Jesus. There's a seed. That's the Word. The gospel of the kingdom. But there's a variety of ways that it will be heard. And that's the four soils that are before us. Jesus is speaking in this agrarian way to show the way people respond to the gospel. Please never give the pastor a plant. It will die. If you like plants at all, never give one to me. I have never been a good gardener. And if I'm a bad gardener, Marion's a bad gardener. She's never been a good gardener either. Whatever plant you ever give us will last very short, you know. If you want to give my wife something, give her cut flowers. They're going to die anyway. She won't feel so bad about it. But in the Coleman house, we are just not gardeners. But I understand this principle about gardening through many, many, many failed attempts. When you plant something, it needs sustained attention. You know, you just can't get a plant. I've tried it various ways. You know, you just set it up there and you water it a few times and you forget about it. And you come back in a month, and what's happened? It's all dried up. So knowing my tendency to do that, I've tried it the other way. You know, I've known, well, I'm not likely to get back to this for a couple of weeks, and so I've just poured the water on, and then it's sitting in water, and it died too. Did you know you could drown plants? I can. You know, I tend to kill them. Out of neglect, out of the tyranny of the urgent, my reason is not that I don't like plants, not that I don't think they're beautiful. It's just the tyranny of the earth. Everything else in my life gets in my way of the care of this plant. And in a real sense, Jesus is showing us that in this parable. The real problem with the soul, the soil, is the matter of attention given. And so notice here, Jesus speaks to those. So it is possible to hear. There are those who are listening to Jesus this day, and they hear, but they don't hear Him. They haven't received Him. Why? Because there are four varieties, as it were, four ways to hear the Savior, four types of soil. First, there's the deaf heart. I mean, you see that there in verses 3, and then the explanation down in verses 14 and 15. But notice a sower, he goes out and and he flings the seed. He is being indiscriminate. He is shedding the gospel, as it were. It is going forth for all who hear. But there are four types of soil. There's the deaf heart. There's the deceived heart. There's the divided heart. And finally, there's the deep heart. Now, I know some people want to look at that and say, well, is that proportions? You know, you got three bad and one good. Does that mean only one out of four people are going to make it into heaven? That isn't what Jesus is teaching here, okay? It's not a parable of proportions. It's a parable of varieties, of ways to hear the Word of God. As a matter of fact, probably the better way to look at the parable, by the way, is that there are three failures, but there are three successes. Right? There's three failures. The deaf, the deceived, the divided, they miss, and so there's no fruit born out of them. But in the deep-rooted, there's this supernatural response that's threefold, 30, 60, 100-fold. And so it's not so much the proportions that Jesus is driving at, but at the depth and the work that comes out, as it were, of gospel productivity. And so listen carefully. Notice the deaf heart here. It's the hardness of heart. And so we're told there that the seed falls along the path, and because it can't get in, the birds pick it up. We're told a little later, as Jesus explains to his disciples, that's the spiritual warfare. Did you know hardness of heart is spiritual warfare? There are some of you who can go in and you can hear the sermon, you can walk out, and somebody could say to you, hey, what did Pastor Wade preach today? And you say, he preached the Bible. Because that's about as far as you could get with a sermon, right? And Jesus is saying there's a certain measure of spiritual warfare when it comes to listen. The hard-hearted, the deaf heart doesn't hear it. Hears without receiving, and Satan comes and snatches it away, and it's gone. Impervious, has no effect. But then there's the seeming effect. Notice in the work from fruitless to fruitful here, it seems like each has a little more impact. The deceived heart is the second heart there. Notice there was some seed that fell among rocky ground. And that's probably a little bit of dirt and then a rocky base underneath that. And when it tried to spring up, it could spring up. And when it tried to go deep, it couldn't, because the rocky soil, the rocky heart prevented it from going. And so it was received, Jesus says a little later in the parable. It's the message received with joy, but when troubles and trials come, it peters out. There's no staying power. You can walk out of the sermon. This kind of person could walk out of the sermon and say, great message, Pastor. Wow, you did that well. And then the next hardship or trial comes in life and poof, it's all gone. There was an emotional response, but no depth of conviction. And when trial comes, it too is ripped away. It dies. It's no good. And then there's that third soil there. It's not deceived. It is divided. Notice it understands the message, receives the message. But Jesus tells us the worldliness of life, the cares of the world come in and consume. The desire for the here and now robs the joy. And eventually that word is choked. And it is not a fruitful grain. It has no response. But there is a soil that receives. A soil that is neither deaf nor deceived nor divided. And it is deep. And the roots sink deep and the shoots forth strong, and there is fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Supernatural response. I know there are people who are much better at the agrarian nature of seeds. Best I can tell from what I've read this week, Alex, for seed to be reproducible, basic of human sustenance in Jesus' day was probably 1 for 3. The base level, you had to save one and eat two. I think with modern mechanism, what's the rate of return, Alex? What's a good rate of return on grain? Anybody know? Somebody help me. Anybody know the rate of return? But I believe 30%, pretty good. 60%, pretty good. 100%, supernatural responses is what I'm trying to say. Here are people who are responding to the gospel and bearing fruit for it. Listen carefully. We must question our heart. Is there a hardness? Is there an emotion with no depth? Is there a divided sense of the things of Jesus and the things of the world? Are we controlled in any other way but by the sower and the seed? God would cultivate our heart this morning and remind us that we have a need, that the condition of the heart is essential to gospel connectivity and receptivity, that we are to be a receiving people. These four responses to the gospel really are two responses, aren't they? There are a variety of way of hearing, but there really aren't only two responses when we come down to it. And that's our third point this morning. We need to listen carefully because the goal of listening is to be productive, as it were, in Jesus' words. To bear fruit. And there really are only two responses to the word, to the seed. It's fruitless or fruitful. Notice there, as Jesus speaks, as He deals with the deaf and divided and deceived heart, they are fruitless. They don't bear forth gospel godliness. But there is a soil that bears it forth there in verse 20. But those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Fruit is the demonstration of what has the heart. Man's soul, transformed, cultivated, captivated by God and God's love. You see, it is the essence of God's gospel to be heard. The good gospel is the planted gospel, and the planted gospel springs forth and produces that which is in keeping with godliness. God's gospel transforms. It's the heart of the gospel, not just to be before the sermon, not just to have the sermon before us, but to receive and be transformed, to grow by the sermon. And so our hearts are what's on trial, as it were. How are we receiving the Word of God? You know, one time a young man decided he was going to share his affection for a young lady, and he was going to ask her to marry him and to promise her all that he had in life. And in the way of doing that, this guy came to his girl, and he said to her, I love you with all my heart, and I want to make you my wife. Now, I can't make you rich like Johnny over there. I can't give you the fine cars he could give you, or the nice house, or the hopes of all your worldly cares being taken care of, but I can give you myself, and I love you with my whole heart. Will you marry me? And the girl looked back at him and said, I love you too. Could you tell me more about Johnny? Love is more than a word. The response that Jesus is after here is not just the words that flow from our heart, but the whole of our heart. Jesus, when He takes hold of us, when He gathers us in, it is to produce in us a Christ-likeness, a listening that is productive, reception that is honoring, fruit born out of a transformed life, godliness that leads unto righteousness, because Jesus has our love and He has our hearts. The greatest challenge for most of us in the gospel is hearing it. There may be some who are hard-hearted this morning. You know, if Wade says a good word, or somebody during the service says a good word, I'll try to take hold of that, but it's got to be proven to me. Now, let me be honest here this morning. If you're wrestling with Jesus, please keep coming. Continue to wrestle with Jesus, to understand who He is, to understand what it means to walk with Him. I'm not forcing you to early commitment here. I'm just saying this, that one of the grand difficulties in being overtaken by the Savior, in understanding the Savior, in living for Christ who has given His life and in His death redeemed, one of the grand difficulties there is hardness of heart. One of the chief anti-fruits in our text here is what? Hard-heartedness, the inability to receive and hear. God must churn up the soil. God must break up the clods of our heart. He must work within us. But if you feel that hard-heartedness in your heart this morning, all you have to do is cry out, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. There's not a person in this room who doesn't deal with hard-heartedness at some points, right? But there is a hardness that becomes impervious to the truth of God. And God would desire for us to be a receiving people. Listen. That's one anti-fruit, as it were, of response to the sower and his seed. And the next one here, we're told, notice there in the text, as Jesus is explaining to his disciples what has happened this whole text. You know, they come to him and basically say, you know, can you explain that parable to us? That's kind of like coming to a comedian and saying, could you explain that joke? You know, it doesn't quite work that way. But Jesus, what does he say to him? You know, if you can't get this parable, you won't get the rest. There are kingdom parables coming. This is a parable about the kingdom. You have the secret of the kingdom. You got to get this. Hard-heartedness is an enemy to God's grace. Emotionalism is an enemy to God's grace. Now, don't hear me say you can't have emotions. You have emotions. You need emotions. But you can't merely respond to Jesus by your emotions. Because notice there in the text, in verse 16, these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. They're the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. There's emotion in their response. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation and persecution arise on account of the word, on account of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, immediately they fall away. Notice there, it's an emotional response, but it's not a deep response. There's no roots to hold the system together. There's no depth of conviction in their response to Jesus. Good message. No control. And so we are people who need to respond to Jesus. Heart, affections, intellects, feelings, will. But Jesus would have all of us, not just our emotions. It is possible to be stirred by the message of Jesus and never to receive Jesus. And then thirdly, notice there in the divided heart, there is the sense of those who seemingly receive, who seemingly respond to it, but they have a divided heart. And so their care for this world and their care for the world to come are always at conflict with one another. They would love to learn the things of the Lord, but those things begin to get crowded out and even choked out by their cares of this world. And it's the kind of situation where you get so concerned about the greater provision for your family. When can I get that next new car? When can I have that second home? When can I have this and this? That it's lost on your soul, the need for Jesus. But it's not just financial. It might be ideological. It might be your view that it's not just new things that will transform your life, but maybe a new president would transform your life. And you can get so caught up in listening to this talk show pundit or that talk show pundit, reading this article or that article, that really your hopes that may have some biblical moorings begin to become choked out because you're so concerned about whether you're going to have an IRA in 10 years or not. Now, hear me say, none of those are unimportant things. We live in a society where it's good to have a car. We live in a society where you're commanded to pray for your president and have the opportunity to vote. Those are good things. They just need to not be competitive things with the very grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like weeds, and we all need a little gospel Roundup. Anybody else use Roundup in their yard? Love that stuff. I mean, I only have about, 8 or 10,000 square feet of terra firma. You know, that's all I own on the earth, and really the bank owns half of it. I only own half of it. The bank owns half. But I'm charged with taking care of this. And the toughest thing every week is the weeds, right? The weeds always grow better than the good stuff. And Jesus would warn us this morning. You know, we need some gospel Roundup. There are things in our lives that need to be destroyed or put in proper perspective so that we can follow Jesus. You know, some of y'all could be so concerned about the grades you're going to get in discourse that church diminishes and disappears from your life. But you've got a rationale. If I don't get the grade this course, then I'll have to leave. Or if I don't get the grade in this course, I can't move to the next course. Or I can't get that job, that opportunity that I want to have, or that doctorate I want to pursue. All those things begin to make sense, but it's gospel denying if it becomes your idol, your God. You know, at the heart of all these things is hearts that go away from the Lord, but the fruitful heart. Now, those are the fruitless heart, but the fruitful heart. The seed sinks deep. It germinates. It shoots forth. It is sustained by God's work in our lives, and it is fruitful. And God is honored. You know, Jesus' word to us is not just sound bites. Jesus' word to us is life. And we must hear. The soil of our heart must be cultivated, because hearing and receiving, submitting and yielding, it's the goal of the Christian life. Jesus doesn't save us by our good works, but He has saved us unto fruitfulness and good works. The gospel says to us, this analogy I would say is fleshed out in words like those of Apostle Paul, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created for fruitfulness, for good works in Christ Jesus." The very demonstration of the soil of our heart is revealed in our love of godliness, in the work of godliness in our lives. And the goal of Jesus is for hard hearts to be softened, for deceived hearts to be cleared, for divided hearts to be weeded. And the gospel works on us. You see, gospel deafness is a great danger to us. And the only way that gospel deafness is defeated and pierced is by listening believingly, listening carefully, listening productively to the Word of our Lord. Jesus' Word is to be received. Can you hear me? More importantly, can you hear the Lord? Prince Emmanuel, He stands at the ear gate this morning, and He will take man's soul. It is God's promise. Is it our response? God is good and gracious to us, but let us respond well. You know, the cry of our heart must be, "Lord, help me. I cannot help myself." There is a need in us to see the hardness and the weakness and the worldliness of our souls, and to give those to Jesus. Because ultimately, it is the Word of God by His Spirit that is to be at work in us so that we may receive we may rejoice. You know, I think that's best done in community. Because the truth is, according to Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things. And so there may be some gospel deafness and some gospel blindness in your heart that needs to be committed. It'd be good for you to invite a few friends in and just say, hey, is there anything in my life that I can't see that you can see about where I might be missing Jesus and His work? It's a painful question to ask, by the way. And if you keep asking it, people will tell you things you don't want to hear. But it'll be grace to you. Because those blind spots and those deaf areas, they're hard to receive, but they are good because Jesus would change all of us. He would have our hearts. He would have us all. When one of our kids was young, we thought maybe he had some hearing issues. And so we took him to a doctor, and the first doctor did a little hearing test with him and did some little sounds. And the kid, when he was doing the hearing test, if he heard it in one ear, he was supposed to raise a hand and raise another. Finally, the doctor looked at him and said, "You're guessing, aren't you?" My son, with a sheepish little grin, said, "Yeah. You know, we're not supposed to guess at the gospel. We're supposed to receive the gospel." So we took him to one of those specialists. I think they're audiologists. And they put him in this booth and they put some ear things on his ears. And he had some buttons to push. And as he was hearing, he was to push those buttons. And it turned out to be just what I thought. He heard just fine. He just heard selectively. When Dad would say, "Hey, you," he'll whip me if I say his name. So if I said, "Hey, you, do this," and he just kept walking his own way, he really heard me. He just didn't hear me. But once the test was done, and I could respond to that diligently, it was amazing how much better action got. It was amazing as we really plowed his heart how he could do what he was asked. My mom always used to say my dad, who was an engineer by trade, had lost about 50% of his hearing. And there were often times in our home where Dad didn't hear what was going on. My mom would always say of my dad, "He has selective hearing. He turns it off and he turns it on when he wants to." My son had selective hearing. He turns it off and turns it on when he wants to. I have selective hearing at times. It's my greatest gospel enemy. Jesus says, "Listen." Beloved, to you this morning, Jesus says, "Listen." And God has always been concerned about our hearing. The very heart of the daily worship of Israel in the Old Testament was to respond by sharing with each other and before the Lord the Shema. You know what the Hebrew word Shema means? Hear. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your muchness. The beginning of response to the Lord is Shema. Hear. Hear the Lord this morning. If you can't hear Him, ask for the gift of listening. And if you are listening, heed the word of the Lord unto fruitfulness. Hear the Lord and receive Him. The gospel begins with hearing. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we would admit there are those who won't hear, maybe in our midst. We grieve that, Father. We ask that you would help us to be a people who would hear, who would listen, who would Shema. Let us be the people of the Lord, who hear and respond with hearts that love with all our being. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.